This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Is the next step basically kind of connecting those dots behind the scenes at an investigation level? And then if it, you know, the dots connect, is that time then for the arrest? Or what are we likely to see next?
We don't know, because we don't know how far the tendrils are. The next thing you're probably going to see after they collect the evidence, they review all the evidence that they have that they've collected, and which is going to be a lot of digital evidence. They've collected thumb drives, they've collected laptops, they've collected cell phones, hard drives, anything. That's why you see places generally turned upside down.
Yeah, so people that are collecting things, especially when they don't want them to be found and there's a lot of shame involved, mm-hmm. and you can secrete them and put them on little small thumb drives and hard drives and things, that's why places get turned upside down, because it's very, very hard to find them all. So that's the evidence they're going to be going through.
Mm-hmm.
And once they go through that evidence, they're going to be looking for potentially other people that are involved. And so they're going to hold off on charges until they do an interview, because maybe they can have him cooperate or anyone involved there that can cooperate. Because, again, they're going to do their best to go to the root core of where this all happened, where it's transpiring from, and try to get as vast a network eliminated as possible. So I think that's what you're going to see. It's probably some time before there's any charges, because once they actually figure out who all is involved and the depth of which they're involved, that's when you might see some charges. So it's going to take a little bit while, I still think, unless there's a risk of flight. So
sure.
I don't know.
With a case like this and the likelihood that there are other people involved, we're already hearing, you know, names floating around. We're already seeing people trying to distance themselves from Diddy. And the last 25 years of, you know, him being such a public figure, the odds are good that we're going to see other people involved. Is that kind of part of it right now with let's not rush in, make the big arrest? Let's just kind of let's watch people squirm a little bit and see where maybe we see the most squirming and maybe, you know, we need to pay some attention here.
It's interesting. In general, I wasn't, as an investigator, even though it was counterintelligence world and spy recruiting, I wasn't someone that's looking for people to be squirming. I don't think that's what law enforcement is doing right now. They're not looking for the squirm. They're looking for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally just collecting as many data points. And when you have one person involved, remember I told you, if you have one person that is involved in either child trafficking or pornography, it could be anywhere from 6 child victims all the way up to 600.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for one person. And so what they're doing is they're collecting a lot of data points. Because remember, what they're doing is they have one person that they think is going to be a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at that digital footprint of all the people that's ever visited the house, everyone that they've ever talked to on a cell phone. Anytime there's ever been an exchange of a file, they're going to be looking at all those files, who they exchange files with.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of resources to do that kind of research and analysis before you can actually keep going further. So looking at squirming, the squirming part comes when you actually start doing the interviews.
Okay. I mean, there are allegations in one of the lawsuits naming Cuba Gooding Jr. As a defendant. Mm-hmm. There's been, far as we know, as of right now, nobody's raided Cuba Gooding Jr.'s place. I mean, that could be coming at some point. How much of this, the federal investigation is being based on some of these civil suits that have been brought against Diddy, with these other defendants being named? I mean, is the reason for this investigation sparred by that, the many civil suits that have come against Diddy in the last several years?
Well, at some point, you know, you're going to start looking for fire where there's a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're seeing here is a lot of smoke and a lot of unhealthy behaviors. And so now you have a prosecutor and an investigative team that is kind of, I guess, gotten to the level where they're seeing some fire where there's smoke,
mm-hmm.
and they've obviously got enough evidence to get probable cause to get search warrants. And so I think that's exactly what you're seeing. Who knows how far deep it's going to go, but I think it's definitely playing. It's also then painting, as we've said before, a behavior arc of a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
And when you see a lot of unhealthy behavior, it starts you ask yourself as an investigator even more questions. Well, when did this unhealthy behavior start? Because I'm seeing this one instance here. I guarantee you it just didn't start here. It started back here. So how far back do we have to go? Who else was involved back then? So you get a lot of boy, this is what makes really complex cases.
It does. I mean, it's interesting, and I think hindsight's 20/20 on some of this. We're now seeing older videos that were, you know, blatantly put out there. They were public videos. We saw a video of Diddy and Justin Bieber at the age of 15. I mean, you look at it, and at the time, we all kind of wrote it off as, oh, it's every 15-year-old's dream, he kind of hinted at it. They can't disclose what's going on. I mean, one could have easily looked at that and gone, well, that's really kind of creepy and weird. I mean, what 40-year-old man is standing next to a 15-year-old saying things like that, that's not your own kid? You know, it's like, if it's your own kid, like, yeah, we're 15-year-old's dream, we're going to go to Six Flags or something like that. But I think it was hinting at something else. And then we hear the stories from Usher as well. There's audio of that from the Howard Stern show, where Howard asked him, you know, after Usher had stayed and lived with Diddy for a year during his first album back in the 90s, saying he saw a lot of things, where he didn't quite understand at the time, and asked if he would ever allow his child to stay there. The answer is hell no. It likely goes way, 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 way back. I guess the question would be, on somebody like this, we've already had, you know, we've had the R. Kelly come out. We've had, you know, several other high, you know, Bill Cosby, tons and tons of people with very, very high profiles and very, very insulated individuals as well in terms of power that have all come down. Why this long on Diddy?
He had a good network of trusted contacts. Yeah. That's all that you can say. You know, I mean, when someone feels taken care of and part of a group or organization, they feel valued and appreciated by that organization, and you're providing value to them, it's psychologically, it's very hard to betray that. And so, but once the fracture starts and once your behavior changes and you no longer feel valued and you feel disenfranchised or you feel like a victim in some way, that's when the house of cards starts tumbling, especially when you're dealing with unhealthy behaviors like this.
What kind of protection does or did he think he had? Because, again, there's been many, many lawsuits that he's settled over the years over allegations of sexual abuse. And I'm sure within those settlements, there's non-disclosure agreements and such. Even though some of the behavior likely was criminal. I mean, again, we're just speculating here. But, does that non-disclosure protect him from criminal liability if one of those victims did want to go forward and say, look, what you did was criminal? I mean, yes, we settled it over here, but I'm gonna push this over here as well, because it goes far beyond just you paying me off to go be quiet.
Non-disclosure statements are really interesting that you brought it up. Legally, again, I'm not a legal beagle at all. Sure. I've just dealt with them when I've given my own confidential human sources non-disclosure statements. Mm-hmm. And they've asked me what kind of legal ramifications happen if I disclose. And I said, in reality, it's tough. It's really tough to go after someone for disclosing when they had a non-disclosure statement, because it takes time, energy, and resources in order to go after someone. Can you legally? Yes. What happens more times than not is you give someone a non-disclosure statement because psychologically, it keeps them from talking, because when you put a psychological limit on someone and then you treat them very well, it compounds that effect of silence. And I mean, it just creates that psychological effect of I can't share with anyone what's going on behind the scenes. And then it also allows someone to make an excuse of, I can't tell you because I have a non-disclosure statement. I mean, how many times have you heard that from someone? So I can't share that because I've signed a non-disclosure statement. Okay.
Yeah.
Legally, maybe, but it's tough to go after.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.